everybody. My name is Carla Rowell, and I'm an alcoholic. And I'm delighted to be here. My sponsor says I got a posse. I want to thank the GSO for the privilege and the opportunity to share with you all this morning. At the biggest family reunion I have ever seen. Thank you. And we really do enjoy. If you're new here, you'll stay here. Give us 9 steps. Just give us 9 steps, and you'll see what we mean. You'll start to enjoy that new freedom and new happiness. We become awake and alive, and we don't become perfect, but we become willing to walk into our lives. And I can look you in the eye. And I want to tell you that my home group, my sobriety date first, is September 25th, 1987. My home group is a Sober on the Rock group in Sunland, California. That's one rock, not Sober on the Rocks. We thought it would be cute. And my sponsor is Polly P. Yeah. And I have a lot of friends and a lot of family here, a lot of extended family, and I hope to meet a lot more of you, too. I want to tell you that Alcoholics Anonymous saved a woman, and we all have a version of this, you know, a woman who would walk away from her 4-year-old daughter one day to go to work as a bartender and sit on a bar stool and not go back, not go to work and not go back to see about her little girl. And I would have told you that I love that little girl, but alcoholism doesn't care who you love. It just doesn't care. And we give it away. I gave it away. I gave it away. And I gave it away. And any sign of promise or potential or God-given talent that I had, I began to trade away at an early age for the effect that alcohol would produce. And when I got here so many years later, I would have told you that I was an alcoholic because of my crazy, dark, dramatic, perverted, violent family. And then I come here and find out that it just didn't matter. I met a lot of you who never had that family. You never had that family. You never had any of that stuff happen to you. And yet you sit right next to me in the meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. You drank just like I did. We came into that torturous state of alcoholism where we're either drinking or thinking about drinking. It became my whole life. If I wasn't drinking, I was thinking about my next one. And when I was drinking, I couldn't control it. It was all about the alcohol. And it still could be. That's what's at stake. After I come to the 9th step and I come into 10, what 10 tells me is to go do all that all over again and to keep doing it for the rest of my life. Brings me into an 11 and 12. And I got to tell you, that little girl I walked away from when she was 4 years old is now 37 years old, and I got to have a relationship with her. I get to have one with her, and I watched her just last year collect her master's degree. And despite her, because of me, being in her life, I get to be a privileged witness to all of this. I'm just taking a breath. Oh, my God. How do we get from there to here? I don't know. I got to tell you, I just left a job at the Home Depot. A lot of you probably know that place. I worked there for 3 years to make my way through massage therapy school. Now, there's a long way for an ex-hooker to go, right, from there to massage therapy school. But like in my first week at Home Depot, we had this meeting, and I was several years sober. You know, I was 24 years sober when I started there, and I had left a job at the Towers of High Finance to go pursue my dream, whatever that was. I didn't even know what that was yet, but sober, we can take that walk. So I'm at the Home Depot, and we're having this meeting, and our leader says, hey, I'd like everybody to go around the room and tell us one thing that you think that we might not know about you. So we had that meeting, and I was telling my husband about this that afternoon, and he said, well, what'd you tell him? Did you tell him that you started hooking when you were 14 years old? I said, no, I didn't tell him that. And he said, well, what'd you tell him? He said, did you tell him that you were institutionalized for most of your adolescent life? And I said, no, I didn't tell him that. They said, well, did you tell him that you started as a secretary and went all the way to the top in the towers of high finance, making almost six figures, and you left there to pursue your dream? I said, no, I didn't tell him that. And he says, well, God darn it, what did you tell him? And I said, well, I told him I like to garden. And we're extraordinary people who do ordinary things, and we are ordinary people who do extraordinary things every single day. And I expect that. I wake up and my feet hit the floor and I say, thank you. That is my prayer. That's the prayer that I begin with today. We make these amends. Like, my father doesn't have to sit up nights anymore to watch the news to make sure his daughter's name is in the list of the victims of the serial killers of the day. You know, he sleeps well and he knows why. And when my mother passed away almost 6 years ago of end-stage liver disease, she and I were clean and clear. And you know, in 20 minutes, it's hard to sort of tell you the whole thing. You know, we wrap this thing up, if you're new, you know, it's hard to, we wrap this thing up like some bad episode of Law and Order from the podium. You know, we have the Law and Order and boom, we're good. But in between all of this time, during all of this time where we're going through all of this stuff and we're cleaning up the wreckage of our past, whoops, we're cleaning up the wreckage of our past and creating new wreckage, we talk to each other. We talk to each other. It doesn't matter where we come from. We come from South Africa. We come from the UK. We come from all over. But we have this one thing in common. We come in here and we've wrecked our lives. We burn them to the ground and we rebuild. We rebuild and we come in here and we have a new freedom and a new happiness. Sometimes families are put together. Sometimes they're not. You know, it's not always a bed of roses, but we walk each other through that. That's what the fellowship is for. I come from a place where when I did get married many years ago, I married a man, and the way that we settled our arguments was with a shotgun. You know, it was very chaotic. And when I came in here, you didn't throw me away. You told me to come in here and sit down, and you had a kit of tools, of spiritual tools you handed me, and I started to use them. And my sponsors have taught me how to use my intuition. They've used their intuition to teach me how that I have mine. I don't become reliant on another person. I become reliant on God, and we share that with each other. Along the way, I've become a big meditator. I'm a big believer in the 11th step, you know. My friend Howard P. says, he likes to say, wherever you see God, mark that spot and go sit in that window again. And I've had many of those windows. And Alcoholics Anonymous was the first portal that I walked through in order to start that, in order to get that established, you know. And it just started by... It just started by counting coincidences in my life. It just started by counting, trying to see God wherever I could. And pretty soon I read that part in the big book where it said, are you ready? Are you willing to believe? If you're ready or willing to, or am I willing to believe that God's everything or is he nothing? Is he or isn't he? Is God everything? Is he nothing? If God is everything, then there's nothing else. There's nowhere I go in the world where God is not. Nowhere I go in the world where God is not. And every day I ask for his list. I ask for God's list for me instead of giving him mine. I used to give him my list all the time. And I was sorely frustrated. I don't know about you, but when I give God my list for how I think the day should go, it's a lot different. It turns out a lot different, and I end up in a lot worse shape. But over the years, I've spent different kinds of meditation. I've used different methods, like the best antidepressant I know in the world, which was exercise. I'd go to the gym, and the repetition was great, worked out just great, felt great. Later on, I tried surfing. You know, the medium's always moving. I think surfing is a great metaphor for life, where it's just always moving and got to stay in balance. Of course, for me, I was falling most of the time, so it wasn't surfing all the time. Surfing for me is like a friend. My friend, my friend Lisa used to call surfing, say that surfing was like being in a domestically violent relationship without actually having to have a partner. And I agree with that. And then I started to dance. I was 47 years old. 47 years old and 17 years sober. And I don't know about you, but I sort of started to get into that perfectionism mode, you know, where everybody had to be perfect but me. I started to notice all the defects of character you guys had. And if I couldn't be perfect, somebody had to. And my sponsees weren't wanting to call me. They love me, but I don't want to call her. You call her. I don't want to call her. You. And anyway, you know when you're starting to take yourself a little too seriously, you know, so I got to loosen my grip on my life, loosen it. Anyway, I walked in. I believe that there's a God today because he answers questions I don't ask out loud. He asks prayers. He gives me what I need without even knowing that I need it. So I end up in this dance studio. And no, I'm not saying dance is the answer to life. But I walked in to take this free rumba lesson. I mean, what the heck, right? We just walk into life and I end up in this Arthur Murray dance studio and I'm taking a free rumba lesson. And I'm still kind of a little stiff and brittle, and you can't be stiff and brittle and do the rumba. You know what I mean? So right in the middle of this dance, this teacher stops and he slapped his forehead and he said, "Oh my God, Carla, do not try to dance like a good girl. I don't think they will believe you anyway." How did he know? But in the 9th chapter of our book, it says, "Our dark pasts are our greatest possession." My dark past has been woven into a huge tapestry that is my life. It's there for those who need to see it, and yet I walk a free woman in the real world, awake and alive and looking you in the eye. And not just the world of AA, not just the world. AA was a conduit back to life. I don't hide. I have a big life in Alcoholics Anonymous, but I don't hide from the world either. You taught me how to walk. There's nowhere I can't go because I'm afraid. You know, I can go anywhere. And again, you know, dance was my meditation. It was sort of a way of learning how to be back in the now, right here, right now, where the God is. I believe that's the fourth dimension, right here, right now. I could always live a moment from now where the anxiety was. I could always live a moment ago where the guilt was. But I could never be right here, right now. I was too vulnerable, too spontaneous. I just couldn't get the cover. But dance taught me, God taught me through dance, that if I just stand and I stand in frame and I wait, I'm not worried about the steps I'm going to take and I'm not worried about the steps I just took. I just stand in frame and I allow myself to be led. I never know what pattern I'm executing until it's done. And in the meantime, I get to experience the glorious time of the now where the God is. Time and time again, every day, that's why I say thank you. I start the day with thank you. Thank you. What would you have me be? What would you have me do? And I have, I have made some big mistakes in sobriety. I've been bankrupt at 10 years sober. You know, our friend Vince Yeo used to say that you can't be afraid to look bad in Alcoholics Anonymous. You got to save your butt. You can't worry about saving your face. You know, and so I've come in here broken and I've come in here joyful. I've come in here with everything. And I'm transparent to many. The joy of living, even in times that are hard, we really do have it. We really do have it. And I say it if you're new, just give us 9 steps. Come in here and see what this is. And learn to trust the process. Because even when my life is bumpy, you know, like being raped at 5 years of sobriety by an intruder, something that I just never would have expected having been working 12 golden steps. How does that happen in your life? And yet to be able to be taught to forgive something like that, not because I'm spiritually superior, but because I am just like him. And I have learned over time that I have been just about everybody I've ever resented or been afraid of. I have been that. And when I see it from that way, I am you. I am you. I'm standing on the same ground you are. And I loosen my grip on life, on how I think things are supposed to be. I don't believe that God shoots problems at us to see how we're going to do with them. But I believe that he sends people out to hold out their hands to say, "Come on, I'll walk you through this." And that's been Alcoholics Anonymous for me. It's been the absolute portal for me to come in and to learn and establish and maintain a relationship with a higher power that I still call God and is still growing. If I could define God today, I'd be bigger than God, and that's not happening. I was reminded of the joy of living, and I have to be reminded. I was reminded of the joy of living just a few years ago when we adopted this little pit bull puppy named Sammy. We named her Sammy. I don't know if we have any dog people in the room. Yeah, we got some dog people. Yeah. Well, I don't know if you... I had to be reminded of the joy of living when I'd get up in the morning and I'd go feed Sammy and I'd put down food in front of her, you know? And I've been taught by you guys, it is not the circumstances of my life, it is my attitude every single day that either makes my day go good or makes it go not so good. So I put the food down in front of Sammy, and it was the same food she saw yesterday and the day before that. Same food, just new attitude, new day. She'd look at it, look at me, and look at it, and look at me. Like it was the first time she ever saw food, and she'd say, "Ooh, I can't believe we're going to eat." And she'd eat the food, and then she'd run into the bedroom where Doug and I were, and she'd look at him and look at me and look at him and look at me. Same faces she saw last night and the day before that. Same faces, different day. It was like, "Ooh, it's you. We're going to party." And then she'd jet out the doggy door to the backyard, you know, the same yard she saw yesterday and the day before that, same yard, different day, you know, just round and round and round in circles, you know, just goldfish mentality. "Ooh, a castle, ooh, a castle, ooh, a castle." And I'd look out the back window and I'd see her living in this moment, right here, right now, where the God is, right here, right now, just enjoying the day. And I think, oh, you know, when I wake up and upon awakening, I don't let a moment get in there. I don't let a breath get in there. I say thank you, and I ask God for his list for me instead of giving him my list. And I get up and I go about my day. I get to experience, not like stupid joy, like I don't know what's going on, but real joy, like no matter what's going on, I know there's something good going on, you know. I'm okay inside. I'm ready, I'm willing, I'm able. But when I don't, when I wake up and I forget about that thank you and I give God my list instead of asking for his, and I start thinking about people who aren't in the room, and I go right for the coffee pot, before I know it, I am sitting on Facebook looking for a fight. Talking to people I don't know about things I care nothing about. And it becomes very, very important. You know the one, defriend. Or my favorite, I am now cutting all of the terrible people out of my life. Yeah. So, I guess what I want to say is it's really good to see you, to be here in the moment. It's like the first time I ever saw you. Every day, we're going to party. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much. You know, when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I was broken. I was miserable. I didn't think that I had any happy, joyous, and free left in me because I had used it all through all those years of drinking. And then when you took me through the steps and you told me that my life would change beyond my wildest dreams if I went through the steps and I did what you did, that I didn't have to have those miserable, broken days anymore, that I could have a life of happy, joyous, and free beyond my wildest dreams, and that I would know a new freedom. And I doubted you when I first got here. But as I began to work the steps with my sponsor and read what the big book tells us, I was amazed before I was halfway through, just like our ninth step promises talk about. However, I still had some of those regrets of my past. And I really wanted to shut the door on all of that, because there were things in there that I was shameful of and things that I never, ever wanted to relive again. And my sponsor and all the women would reassure me. don't shut the door on it. Someday it will become a very, very useful tool for you. And I couldn't understand how that would ever, ever happen. And then I began to sponsor women in Alcoholics Anonymous. And some of those things that were in my past, I had to take back out. And I had to teach them and share with them how I got through some of those situations. And I no longer regretted the past. And I started to become free. Free inside of that guilt and that pain and that shame that I still had. And then it's just like the domino effect. They began to sponsor women. And the same thing would happen with them. And we developed this joy. We developed this joy of living inside of us, I truly believe, when we go through situations like that. And it's all through working the steps and reading the book Alcoholics Anonymous. And when I got this loving invitation from our general service office, at first I was like, oh my God, really? And then I saw the topic, and I was actually very excited, and I was very happy and joyful, because I love this topic, a new freedom and a new happiness. I am no longer bound through alcohol. I am bound to you guys through peace and serenity and joyfulness and freedom. And all of that came through working our 12 steps. And I thank each and every one of you for sharing that with me. Because it took 80 years for all of this to happen. And it'll continue again tomorrow, God willing, and the day after and the day after. So this new freedom that I have received today is all because of Alcoholics Anonymous and you. And I would like today to bring up our next speaker, who's a gentleman that has come some distance. I would like to welcome Patty P. from South Africa.
Thanks, my friend. Morning, my friend. My name is Paddy. I'm an alcoholic. And I'm a genuine alcoholic. I know what it is to be right down in the gutters. I know what it should be there. If I tell you wonderful people that, you know, when I was drinking, for 2 weeks I never had a bath. We were too scared. They say, you put water, you get sober. I didn't want to get sober. I wanted to be that drunken guy all the time. And those are the things that were happening to me. But again, you wonderful people, you know, I stayed here right from the time that the place opened, because I'm ever so grateful to my daughter. She brought me, this is my very first convention. And my date of my sobriety is the 5th of January, 1975. That great gift you wonderful people gave me. If it wasn't for you wonderful people, if it wasn't for the late Dr. Bob and Bill W., I wouldn't have been standing here today. And I can still remember my very first meeting that I went to. I went late. But thank heavens, I never had a drink that day. The day before I drank anything, but that day when I went to my first meeting, you know, that time petrol was only 35 cents a gallon. People from Durban used to come by busloads too. I come from a little town known as Amzinto, where I first sobered up. And when I went over there, after the meeting, the way people hugged me, they reckon you're in the right place, son. You got to come back. All these things really stuck into me. Really stuck into me. And when it stuck into me, I said, they're the wonderful people. Because prior to that, when I went to somebody's house too, they didn't want me the second time because I was the last character to leave there by the drinking. I can still remember one place that I went to on a Christmas party. You know what I did over there? They went away home. This drunk lop was there, taking the glasses right through and filling it up and drinking again. Those things never happened in here. The freedom that I got now, you wonderful people gave it to me. If it wasn't for you wonderful people, I wouldn't have been standing here, as I say. But it is the most wonderful thing that has ever happened. You know, you see me with a suit today over here. I never come here with suit and all. It's that image that I got now, what you all did for me. That's why I said, if I'm talking, I must carry a suit, and I came with a suit. Well, that's what I do when I go to a convention in Natal too. I dress very well and go. The image that I want to show you wonderful people. That image that I've got through y'all, not through anybody else. And that's what I say. You wonderful people, God has kept y'all. If you see, if you wake up in your seat and you see God is sitting with every one of y'all over here. That's why I've taken that first step, which said, I admitted I was powerless over alcohol and my life became unmanageable. And I took the second step, which said, I handed my will and my over to the care of God as I understood Him. The third one, I've given everything to Him now, and why must I take it back? You know, I think back of my mom. When I was a baby, I cried. When I was hungry, my mom took me and went and fed me and all. I became an alky when I started work. My father never drank, my mother never drank, but God has put that illness into me. I've accepted it as an illness today. That illness I wouldn't want to throw away. And that illness is alcoholism. When in the beginning when I came into AA, I used to see somebody have one drink, two drink. I reckon, what the bloody hell, I can't drink like that, man. Why can't I drink like that? But I've accepted this now. If I keep going to AA meeting, that I am an alcoholic. And I can't cure it. I can only arrest it. And that's what I have done. And another thing that I love telling you all again over here, it's a lifetime program. Not going for one meeting, two meeting, three meeting, and then saying, oh, I'll stay away. I gotta go a lifetime to this meeting because there's somebody that says something there, it gets in here. And you know, I'm another character, you know, I'm a character, you could say. Because why? A lot of them say they speak from the bottom of the heart. This man doesn't say that at all. He speaks from the bottom of the hand I lifted is through my brain. That's what, you know, doctors tell now, you got billions and billions of brain cells. One drop of alcohol kills at least a million. Today it makes sense. Those days never made sense to me. But that's why I say, it's all through here that everything, God has given this beautiful brain, and He says, you gotta look after it, son. But I didn't. I didn't. I threw it away and came to this wonderful fellowship after that. It took me 20 years to come here. I came here when I was 39. And I see a lot of young people I saw outside on the road and all. If they could hold it to two hands, they won't have the third hand to pick up that drink. And I always say, if you got your hands held together by praying hands, you won't have that third hand. But I can still remember when I came into the fellowship, I was shaking. And when I went to the meeting, they gave me a cup of tea. I put straw into the tea and I drank. But I couldn't hold that cup. You know, these are the things that all you wonderful people did. And as I told you, I handed my will and my life over to the care of my God of my understanding. As long as I leave it to Him, nothing would happen. But if I take it back, I'll go back to the rut that I was in. I don't want to go back there. You know, this one spoke about going to the gym and gymming. It was about two months ago. I got a window right in front of my, you know, where my bed and over there. And my next door neighbor's trees were shaking. I called my wife and I said, Lovey, can you see those trees shaking? She said, they're shaking. I said, God is giving it exercise. That exercise God is giving those trees outside. And when they were coming away, they said the rain came. God in His mercy is giving that to wash the sins away. But how many of them do accept these things? How many of them? That is it. We got to accept what God is doing. Acceptance is the greatest thing. It's the greatest thing that has ever happened. And by being grateful, things beyond your wildest dreams does happen. And friends, I'm very, very lucky. This is the first convention that I've come to, and it was my daughter who brought, you know, she was 8 when I got into the fellowship, and she told me, Papa, I'm taking you to the convention. And she did everything for me. She was worried, but she gets very worried when I'm sleeping too. She gets up and sees, well, how is he? Is he still okay? Or is he sleeping well and all these things? Eh? But that is the thing. And I, in turn, turn around and say, God in His mercy brought me here to talk to all you wonderful people. To pass the message. To pass the message to the newcomer. And that's why I tell you, a lot of people in AA, if you go to a meeting, there's some, you don't take everything. I never took everything over there. Because sometimes people talk rubbish in a meeting. I leave it there and I'll go. Because why? I don't want to hurt myself. I don't want to hurt myself. But the most important person inside here is me and me alone. That's what I would always say. I'd always say that. It's me and me alone. And I don't want to get hurt by somebody else saying something. I leave it there and I go away. And that's how I got this number of years. Because I take what I want and what I don't want, I give away. I don't want to give it away. Now that's what this happens. I'm very, very sorry that these are the things that you wonderful people have told me. You wonderful people. But the happiness and the glory that I got from my wife, my children, and from you wonderful people, it is too much. Too much, which money can't buy. You know, I spoke about my mama. My mom looked after me when I was a baby, and then that's how now I've given to a power greater than myself. If I leave to the power greater than myself, he look after it very well. And that power is a great power. I talk to that power at times. I talk to that power loud and clear. And I say, God, why is this happening to me? Hey, somehow he sends an answer. He sends an answer there and I go and I just say, hey, that's what I've got to do it this way, not that way. These are the joy and glory that I get all this time. The new freedom of life. You wonderful people showed me the new freedom of life. That is what you guys have shown me. And as I say, if I stick around for the rest of my life, I would be here. And you know, I'm sorry to say again, my sponsor who took me to the AA meeting, he was a qualified doctor. He celebrated 1 year Thanksgiving. And over there again, he threw it away. He threw it away. That's why I'll tell every one of you all over here, read the stories in the big book right at the back. And virtually every day, read chapter 5, how it works. That's what I always say, that the big book to me is more than a Bible, more than a Quran, more than a Bhagavad Gita, anything. That's what got me sober. The big book. If it wasn't for the big book, I wouldn't have been standing. That's what got me sober. Chapter 5, how it works. And, you know, I get shivers and shakes when I stand up here and to see such a big crowd that I'm talking to. I never did this in my life. I never did it in my life. This is the first time that's ever happening to me. This is the first time. And you think I'm going to throw it? And if I say, hold it with 2 hands, you won't have the 3rd hand, that is the thing. It goes. It goes really wonderful. And friends, it's the most wonderful thing that has ever happened is happening to me today. Hey? And I tell you again, it's a lifetime program. Don't go 6 months. Because I go to meetings to go, yeah, you know, after 6 months, after 8 years, after 9 years, the wind fell down. They had that slip. I don't want to have that slip. If I go to a doctor, I tell him straight, Doc, I'm an alcoholic. I don't fry. I don't have that Woods peppermint cure with his alcohol. I don't want to have that chocolate with his alcohol. I don't have the sweets with his alcohol. But I'm too scared. Way to trigger me off again. I'm too scared. I want to die sober. I want to die sober. And that is the greatest thing that is ever happening to me. And that's what I bring you greetings from South Africa. And it's wonderful to be out there for you all, you know, who are animal lovers and all, to come and see animals and everything over there. Not that I'm, what you say that now? I can't even talk to what. I'm not promoting the country. I'm only telling you all. I'm not promoting the country. I'm only telling you all, it's a beautiful country. But be careful wherever you all go or what you all do. Because every country has got that, I see. And that is the new freedom of life that we got. And you know, I was in Washington, and when the president, I was looking at the TV, and when he sang that song, Amazing Grace, it shook me. He sang that song, because in every AA meeting, the convention that we have in Natal, the Amazing Grace is sung. You know, those are the memories that came back to me. Those are the memories that come back. That how wonderful, how nice, and how beautiful it is. And I wouldn't want to throw it away for anything on this earth here. You know, I might be repeating things because the brain is buggered so much. You know, I keep, you know, talking about things that I already spoke about. I care toots about it. I care toots. Because you wonderful people have given me this gift to stay sober. And you wonderful people have taught me how to stay sober. And that's why I say, in that big book, if you only go to all this, to the 12 steps, it's a new way of life. Complete new way of life. Which I don't think any other organizations or anything got it. Yeah, it's a complete new way of life. It says over there, I admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that my life became unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn over my will and my life over to the care of my God of my understanding. Right? If I've given it to him, why take it back? But the other things do come. You know, where I was resentful with people, where I did this, where I did that, all these things. But it, as I say, it takes some time, a lifetime, where I can go and make amends. Those amends I will make. It might take me 6 months, might take me 10 months. And another thing that I've got over here, I haven't got one sponsor. The whole lot of you all are my sponsors. But there's something I want to tell Jack, I don't want to tell it to Tom. I want to tell it to Tom, I don't want to tell it to Mary. See, these are the things that I always hold. I hold, and I hold it with both my hands. But there are some things which I've already wouldn't confess to my God of my understanding. But again, it might take me a long time before I go and say, God, now I'm going to go and confess to that person, say sorry to that person, what has happened and how I am today. That is the thing. And I love seeing the newcomers coming in here, where they're going to carry that flag which Dr. Bob and Bill carried. They're going to carry that flag. You know, when I went around, I saw a lot of elderly people over here. We're going to go away, but there, that legacy will be left behind. That's why I say a newcomer is very, very important to me when he comes in here. I hold him with kid gloves. I think of the days when the newcomers came and picked me up from my home. I used to stand out of the gate, wait for them to come and pick me up. That is the joy and the blessing that I get today. That is the joy and the blessing that I get. And friends, it's a most wonderful place to be in. It's a most wonderful things that happen. And it's a most wonderful thing that God has given us. We're the ones who are carrying it. If it wasn't for God, as I always said, your mother looked out at you first. I became an alky when I started work, and I've given it to a power greater than myself, and I won't take it back. If I take it back, I'll go back to that rut that I was in. I'll genuinely go back to that rut. That's why I always keep the door opened a little bit, that I can see where I was before. I don't want to go back there. I want to stay with you wonderful people. with you wonderful people. And you know, as I keep saying, you know, I repeat things that are always said and all this, because that brain is buggered up so much that, you know, you can't even think at times, you know, what you spoke. Because there are times when I from my kitchen, I go to my room to pick up something, I forgot what I went to my room to go and pick up, because the brain is so buggered. And those are the things that I'm trying to put right today. And it'll take me a lifetime. It'll take me a lifetime. And there's a lot of people that from Durban came over here. I met quite a lot of them over here. I bring them all greetings, good wishes, and they have a wonderful time in this convention. You know, I was here right from the day it opened, because I wanted to meet my kind of people. I didn't want to go here, there, everywhere. Yesterday I was here the whole day because I wanted to meet my kind of people. I wanted to meet my kind of people. But the whole lot of you all are my kind of people. You're all my kind of people. And why must I go to go and see this, go and see that, go see Coca-Cola Dome and all this? I said, I want to stay inside here. Coca-Cola Dome and all, I don't know what it is. I know it's a drink Coca-Cola, but I don't know what Coca-Cola Dome looks like. But that's the thing. My people is the most wonderful thing in this fellowship. And I would really love it. That is it. And friends, I don't know, I must stop. One more minute. Sorry, you know, that is it. If you all, lot of you all can hold it to two ends, you won't have the third end to pick up that drink, nor to make that anything else. But alcohol is the thing that brought me in here. And you all can hold it with both your hands and nothing would happen. And this is a new freedom and a new way of life. It's a new way of life to me. Complete new way of life. What I was in the gutters before is not. Now it's just 1 year. And as I say, there's 12 steps and the 12 traditions are very, very important to me. That is it. Thank you all, and may you all grow from strength to strength. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thanks, darling. Thank you, honey. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks a million.
Thank you very much, Patty. And we've learned that we need to step away from the microphone. Yeah, I know that for me, when I was listening to you share, Patty, that I heard serenity and peace of mind, and we get that, at least I know for me, I got that when I worked that ninth step, and I continue to get that, and I continue to strive to get that, but I have to be very, very willing to do the work that the ninth step requires of me and suggests of me, you know, because where I think I need to make those amends, and the ones that I don't, it's more that the ones I don't think I need to make are the ones that I need to make. But I still have that stuff wrapped up here in my head. And, you know, my head can tell me, no, it's okay. You don't need to do that. And that's, I know now that that's my disease talking to me, because my disease wants to keep me sick. My alcoholism wants to keep me just thinking that I can control everything. And I know today that I cannot. I had to give up that control to my higher power when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. And I have experienced the serenity that comes through working the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and especially through being vulnerable and taking that ninth step and going through and making those amends and facing those fears and facing whatever was going to come, so I could get to the other side, which was the freedom and the happiness, so that I didn't need to continue to look down and look behind my shoulders and see what was what and who was where. But I could look out and I could look at you and I could look at your faces and I could look at your eyes and know that I am trying to become a better person today. And that I was trying to find that peace and that serenity and that happiness. And I have that glimpse of what that is today. I have that little glimpse of happiness, and I have that freedom because I've given up that. And I have to continually, on a daily basis, remember, that's the stuff that I need to give up. I need to give up the things that I think I know what's better for me. I don't. All I know is that I know that I can come into an AA meeting and you can tell me, you might want to try this way of life, you might want to try that. And it's all about the freedom that I am giving up, that self-will and that self-centeredness, so that I can have that same happiness and freedom. Freedom from alcohol, freedom from self-will, and to find that peace of mind, that place of serenity that you talk about. And our third speaker this morning is going to share some of that with us. And please help me welcome Judy O. from Virginia.
Virginia Beach, actually. And, God, it's so great to be here. You know, this is the finest day of my 78 years of a wonderful, devastating, dangerous life, where I lived on the edge, pursuing what and who didn't belong to me. Impulse control. Does that sound familiar? That's not freedom. That's not freedom, because that's self-imposed bondage. This is freedom! A butterfly! Free and bright in colors. I was more when I was drinking like a snake, groveling like a victim. Notice how victims are dangerous, though. So I celebrate my 78th birthday on July 9th. And a month before the trip, I broke my kneecap and my left foot. And the doctor said, if you go, you run a risk that you'll need surgery. And I said, at any cost! Because that's what a life within AA is. A life without bondage of addiction and broken dreams and broken relationships. I'm 9 years sober, December 15. And in those days, I had 3 DUIs, carried 50 extra pounds, a broken marriage, succumbing to physical beating. But, see, I was a victim of chaos then. Now, my chaos started when I was a child. My mother was a fall-down alcoholic. My father was a weak man who just laid on the basement floor and drank, taking it all. And I found that the only way to break all that horrible barrier, was to go in the shower, play, put the water on loud, and scream, and hit the wall. That was the beginning of my chaos remedy. And so, when I got married, and my husband started beating me, telling me what time to go to sleep, what time to wake up, what time to have sex, which wasn't all that good. And so my remedy for that was to plan wild parties that kept him active, and he could stay away from me. In my home group, We spent a lot of attention to the Serenity Prayer. And being a senior citizen, this has special meaning to me. Serenity is to age with grace. Yeah, I'm a youthful spirit in an aging body. But I don't suffer the malady of regrets or resentment at life. You know, when I think about past regrets and resentments, I think about them as a fading image in the rearview mirror. Courage to accept change so that I can focus and see miracles. Wisdom to know the difference between what is and what is not, what's real and unreal. I live the life with the passion of a marathon runner facing the finish line. I love life not only what it is, but what it will become. You know, my snake just fell. My dream has always been to make a difference in life. And this is my chance to try to make a difference. You know, I became sober out of fear. My son, a very accomplished doctor, suffered several addictions and went to rehab. And he came back and he said, "Mom, if you don't get help, I'm going to commit you." I thought he could. Probably couldn't. So I was the subject of an intervention. Now, I write poetry, which I'm going to read you soon. And he plays the guitar, and he plays music to my poetry, and we are best of friends. And so my first poem is called Free, because I wrote it about this experience of freedom. I dance and sing and run and play with butterflies and rain. I choose my memories of lovers, forgetting any pain, accepting the limits of a body, aging and growing old. I marvel at life's mysteries of other lives, I'm told. I enjoy sparkling moments while walking on this earth. My passion stirs me every day. My fears stay clothed in mirth. I enjoy the differences of everyone I meet. I slide upon the silken grass that grows beneath my feet. Joy is flowing all the while deep inside of me, nourishing my every breath, because like you, I'm free. Have time for one more? Okay, one more, and then this one is called Beginnings. When every day begins and ends, I nurture beginnings. I mourn lost friends, of which we have many. I acknowledge all of yesterday's sorrow, and I use it to build a better tomorrow, because nothing is lost despite the cost. We can always begin again with courage and pride and joy inside as we hold the hand of a friend, building a life beyond our dreams, working each step through all of life's scenes inspired by miracles. I can find a way for love and gratitude beginning each day. And I love you so much. Thank you for this opportunity.